Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the best time of the year. The NBA postseason beginning now in the play-in tournament. The winner stays alive. The loser is done.
It's good to be young.
Gorgeous pass.
My teammates can get hot, and it's scary whenever they do.
Nice feet inside. A beautiful Trae Young lob.
A one-and-done type situation. We came out and took care of business.
A dominant victory for the Atlanta Hawks. They move on to play Cleveland Friday.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people!
What they want.
Two games last night in the play-in tournament. The 9-10 matchups. Two teams moved on. Two teams went home. We start where the action ended last night in New Orleans, where it was that man, fresh from Portland. Now with the Pelicans, C.J. McCollum had himself a night. 19 points in the third quarter.
Playoff experience. See, the one thing about he and Dame, mama's boys in Portland each year that people slept on, is that they made the playoffs each year. And one of those years, the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
And when C.J. McCollum is healthy, it's a 25-point score. That's what he's going to be.
He's been great for the Pelicans.
Absolutely. And so now all of a sudden you balance that with Brandon Ingram and how they move Brandon Ingram around now. You notice you see him hanging on the rim a lot more and less isolation, down screen, curl, get him going to his left. He likes that shot. Made him more efficient.
It's a good point.
And so now he's able to close games. He's not as fatigued. And the one other thing I want to make sure I acknowledge is Valanciunas. Using his height, using his size.
Yep.
You know, taking up space, keeping balls alive, scoring the ball. And so, like, this team, when you see Zion doing a 360 in warm-ups and Garrett Temple buying everybody suits in order to play to do the play-in game, like, you start to feel good about your collection of individuals that you're going to play ball with.
I'm glad you brought up that phrase, collection of individuals, because one thing I love about this Pelicans game I was watching, I was like, they had a great rookie class. You know, Herb Jones has been getting all the attention that he deserves for his defensive and offensive contributions. They also have Trey Murphy. And you know, I love Brooklyn's own Jose Alvarado. Now, Jose Alvarado, he got a lot of attention for stealing the ball and being sneaky, but he is contributing on both sides of the floor for this Pelicans team. And the way that they're developing these players, the way they drafted these players, they traded for Murphy, they're doing a great job with the collection of individuals to add to Zion, who's not even playing.
Did you say rookies developing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So early in the year, I sat here and I told everybody, Ime Udoka and Willie Green, don't worry.
It didn't look good early.
Don't worry. I know when I said James Harden was going to end up in Philly, there's certain things that get said, people think I'm bugging. I'm telling you. Willie Green know what he's doing. You just told me three rookies. Now, I saw the experience versus Pop, right? This is his first year. I mean, he's been with the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. He's been with Monty Williams. He's won a championship as a coach. He's been a player. And so now all of a sudden, you go into that matchup with Pop, and they put the years up there and the experience versus the legend, and you now believe if it's close, Pop gonna find a way to get this done.
Wasn't close.
It wasn't close. And I want to give the Pelicans a lot of credit for that. And what you just described, Jacoby, is a nice young team.
Yes, it is.
That's a nice young team. They got three All-Stars. Don't sleep. Not many of your favorite NBA teams currently have three All-Stars. They have that. C.J. McCollum is the person I'm talking about being number three that hasn't necessarily played in the game yet.
He has not played in the game yet. Is this Greg Popovich's last game coaching the Spurs?
No, I don't believe so.
Really?
And I hope it isn't. And just to watch how his career has progressed not only an elite teacher and coach, leader of men, but also how they develop talent to go with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, and how Tim Duncan was likely one of the most skilled big men you will ever see. He came in shooting that bang shot, blocking shots, playing D, and then they built out the roster. They turned Tony Parker into a bucket who was leading the league in points in the paint at one time. And Manu Ginobili, these guys Hall of Famers. And Manu Ginobili was a six man, could have been a starter, left. And just so you guys know, long hair Manu was a problem. I played against him. You know what I'm saying? And, like, straight up. And he even let me know, like, he wore number 5 and was a lefty because of me. I'm like, well, why are you giving me buckets then?
All the buckets.
You know what I'm saying? And so I really appreciate what he did, and then turning the team over to Kawhi, and he became their best player. And so, like, the legend is cemented. But I don't think he's going to end it after this year.
But we will see. We will now turn our attention to the first game between 9 and 10. Atlanta Hawks hosting the Hornets. Mm-hmm. Like the other game, this one was not close. Trae Young had a great second half after kind of sputtering out of the gate. But it was the Hawks who came away with an easy win.
I'm going to remind people, the Hawks made the Eastern Conference Finals.
Easy to forget.
Last year.
Easy to forget.
And that guy right there, let me tell you a statement. As a basketball lifer, I've literally been saying my entire life that Tiny Archibald is the only person in the history of the NBA to lead the league in points and assists. You know how long that record's been standing? 49 years. Ever since I started playing basketball, I looked at every player like, is Isaiah going to do it? Mm-mm. Is Iverson going to do it? Like, this is like holy grail as it relates to like performance. And Trae Young has been dazzling. And so now all of a sudden Bogdanovich making shots and Clint Capella blocking shots and finishing down low and Hunter locking down on D, and him being healthy is just a game changer for them. And so going into the playoffs, the Hawks seem confident.
Yep.
And rightfully so.
They play the Cavs. I could easily see the Hawks beating the Cavs and sending the Cavs home and then become the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm. I could see that happen, especially if the Cavs are going to be shorthanded.
And they're 3-1 versus the Cavs this season. I think the Hawks are going to end up as the 8 seed facing the Miami Heat. But that is not locked in stone. Now we're going to discuss some series that are going to be upon us very shortly, and we're going to get you ready for them. The first one, we're going to start with the champions. The championship Milwaukee Bucks are playing the struggling Chicago Bulls in the first round. Some might even say that the Bucks might have rested some star players the last game of the season in order to play the Bulls in the first round. And I would agree with them if they said that, and I would think it was a good strategy.
Well, the champs got rewarded. You know, when you play with effort and tenacity and discipline the entire time, you look up at the schedule and all of a sudden you can do one thing and it falls in your favor, and you have the defending champs getting a Bulls team that limped into the playoffs, had one of the worst records in the second half since All-Star break, and struggled the entire year against good teams in both conferences. Though DeMar DeRozan was dazzling and has been dazzling offensively, obviously LaVine's dealt with some injuries. They dealt with some injury in their backcourt. So this worked out in Milwaukee's favor. But as we're talking about the East and matchups, you reminded me of something.
What's that?
Miami versus Atlanta?
Yes.
I can see it rain. I can see it rain.
Yes.
Jeez.
That'll be a good one. But now we're going to keep our attention on this one. The Bulls, as you mentioned, just they really struggled against the good teams.
Yep.
You look at the numbers, is they have a good record. However, they feasted against the bad teams, and they basically lost all of their games to the best teams. It's really embarrassing when you look at it like that. And I do not see them winning two games in this season.
And that's, again, why if you're the Bucks, you get lucky. Because remember Jalen Rose told y'all this. Philly about to be in a dogfight with the Raptors. See, the Bucks are going to end this series at worst in five. At worst. Gentlemen sweep.
They don't even have to travel far between Chicago.
Driving back and forth.
Nothing.
Giannis ain't got to get on the plane.
Nothing.
You know what I mean? This is all love. And so
let's turn our attention to that other matchup between the Sixers and the Raptors. Why do you think that this Sixers team that has Joel Embiid, potential MVP, James Harden, Hall of Famer, those two offensive threats are going to have trouble against Toronto?
And I want to shout the marketing and media relations team of the Toronto Raptors, because there are a lot of people that want things in life, Jacoby. Want your time, want your energy, want your money. And I want people to ride for me the way the Raptors ride for their players and their marketing materials to try to make sure that they get acknowledged like they did with Fred Van Vliet and the Monopoly game. It was really smart and well done. Pascal Siakam, Peace Skills, they gave me a toolkit. They got the hammer and got the glue. And I'm telling you that story as we watch our guy Joel Embiid dominate. And Scottie Barnes, the rookie, deserves to be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. You know that they're going to be doing a lot of switching.
That's what they do.
Right?
They got Fred VanVleet and a bunch of people that are 6'8 that can guard anybody.
And remember what I told you Pascal Siakam was. I told you he was the perfect forward in the East because the East only have a couple of guys that play the four or five position that really can get you 20 points in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis, Bam, and Embiid.
So let me ask you a question. It's a great NBA analyst. One of the strengths of the Raptors is they have OG Anunoby and Boucher and Siakam and all of these long pawns, long switchable, sort of quick but big players. Awesome. However, they do not have that one big centerpiece in the middle that can guard Joel Embiid. Is that going to work for them or against them in this series?
See, what you do is swarm, like the killer bees.
Killer bees in a swarm?
Absolutely. So, I mean, just like anything else, that's how they're going to make Embiid play in the crowd. That's what's going to happen. When he had a ball 15 to 18 feet away from the basket, it's going to be somebody on him. It's going to be somebody on the block. It's going to be somebody on the elbow. And let me say a name out loud that we haven't said. There's immense pressure on Mr. James Harden.
Yes. There's no question who the most pressure is on in the NBA this offseason.
In either conference.
It's no
Let's
question.
Make sure we're on
him,
the same page.
A big gap and then everybody
because
else.
Because he now gets to piggyback the process. And during the process, has Philly made the Eastern Conference Finals?
No.
Okay. And last year, they were the number one seed, right? Well, they ain't the number one seed this year. And if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, that ain't progress. People going to be looking at James's performance. You got your way. You want it out of the Nets, you dogged it, got your way. You want it out of Houston, you dogged it, you got your way. Now are you going to be the person that now have people looking at Doc Rivers and trying to figure his job? Are you going to cost your guy Daryl Morey his job? And here's the other thing I want you to know. You got to look at the owner. And we keep saying, oh, James Harden and Daryl Morey. But you know, he got to ask the owner, hey, in 5 years, can we pay James Harden $60
million? Do you happen to have a $250 million okay. for James Harden somewhere?
That conversation doesn't go as well if you get bounced by Toronto in the first round. Mm-hmm. A team that's won it. And let me say something else out loud that people need to put some respect on the Raptors. The championship pedigree of Nick Nurse, Fred VanVleet. They was balling. Pascal Siakam. We give Kawhi all of the credit, and he was the superstar of that team, but they was building that before he got there. And so this is going to be a series to watch in the Eastern Conference.
We'll give you our official predictions on these series as we get closer to them starting, but I'm a little concerned, Mr. Rose.
Oh.
One of my favorite players in the NBA, Luka Doncic. I'm concerned he's not going to play in game one. And I'm concerned for the Mavericks, who I really just want to see. I want to see Luka win one playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I want to see it happen. We'll talk about that much more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Burger King. Get the $5 your way meal with a double Whopper Jr.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Thank you for watching Jalen and Jacoby on television. However, the experience does not stop there. Make sure you follow and subscribe to our podcast. Every single day, we have exclusive content on the podcast. And we say the stuff we can't say on TV. So make sure you listen to the podcast. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in New York City and Pier 17. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we have some more playoff matchups we want to get you ready for. This time, it is the 4-5. Between the Dallas Mavericks and Utah Jazz. Seems like last couple years, we're talking about the Utah Jazz. Can they win the conference? Now we're looking at the Utah Jazz, talking about are they going to trade Mitchell or Gobert?
So a lot of what happens in the playoffs is when you face a team. Mm-hmm. And the Utah Jazz got lucky here.
Because Luka.
They found a landing spot that really puts them in position, in my opinion, not only to be favored, but to advance. For one simple reason. Yeah. I don't think Luka's going to play all seven games. For that reason alone, the Utah Jazz got a golden opportunity. A do-it-all kind of player, Luka, points, rebounds, assists, super-sized triple-doubles.
He does it all.
Correct. Without him, I mean, Finney Smith is a really good player. He can knock down some shots. He'll still play defense and give you toughness. My namesake, Jalen Brunson, continues to improve, finishing at the hoop and making his open shots. Step back, bang, bang, Siegel Street. But without Luka, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Jordan Clarkson, that's a golden opportunity for them to even make it a short series.
Well, Luka's probably not going to play in game one. But if he comes back by game three, are they going to beat the Jazz?
I just don't think him playing five of the games is enough. Like, wow. This is the playoffs.
And Luka's got some really memorable playoff moments. However, he has never won a playoff series in the NBA.
And also, like, the Jazz presents something that the Mavs need. The anchor in the middle. The stifle tower. And so he now has an opportunity to, like, really fill up the stat sheet. I know he recently had, a 2020 game, but he should be getting, like, you know, high rebound, high block games.
Yep.
And still not, you know, getting in foul trouble.
It should be a big series for him. I love Dwight Powell, but I can see Rudy Gobert posing a problem for them.
Well, how does Dwight Powell eat? You know what I'm saying? How does he eat? Luka pick and roll, drop it.
Yep.
Luka behind the back. Luka not going to be there.
I don't know. Hopefully Luka gets better because I want to advance in the playoffs. Other Western Conference series that we know about locked in is the Warriors and the Nuggets. It looks like Steph Curry will be a go for this series.
The Nuggets and Jokic, you might as well substitute everything I said about Luka and say it about the Joker. With him being out there, they have a chance. But if the Warriors get Steph Curry back healthy, and that's going to go with how Klay Thompson has performed recently in particular. Like, the Warriors now have an opportunity to get their big three on the same page again. They've only played 11 total minutes together, the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green. The electric scoring of Jordan Poole. Also, the physicality up front of Kuminga. The Golden State Warriors, this is a really good opponent for them to not only advance, but put themselves in position to ease Steph back in as he's been out for so very long.
The one quote-unquote weakness in the Warriors lineup when they're all healthy would be the five spot.
Height.
Kevin Looney and Kevon Looney. Jokic is going to pose a problem for them. Could Jokic have such a big series that the Nuggets win the series?
Well, here's the problem he's truly going to pose. Like, Draymond is a lockdown defender. But ain't nobody locking down the Joker.
No.
So there's going to be a level of frustration that now Draymond's going to have to make sure he contains. And when Looney's on the floor, he allows Jokic to be a roamer on defense, a rebounder, somebody that can start the fast break because he's getting a defensive rebound. So I agree with you. He's going to be a dominant force in this series. But this is where you start to miss Jamal Murray.
this is where you start to miss Michael Porter Jr.
Absolutely. Moving on to the NFL. Baker Mayfield spoke out. After the Browns acquired Deshaun Watson, he feels like he was disrespected, that he was misled, that he's been mistreated because they traded for Deshaun Watson. How do you feel about his comments?
I got two words for Baker and for anybody that wants to be a celebrity, a public figure, or just it now relates to each of us because we now have social media. Say less. Like, at some point, Russell Westbrook, what Frank Vogel says, what you said about Frank Vogel not knowing why, you know, he didn't vibe with you or whatever. James Harden, you are feeling pressure. You should be. Baker Mayfield, you didn't have a great season.
Deshaun Watson's better quarterback than you.
You're with a number one pick, and though you showed that you could be a starter, you ain't Deshaun Watson. And we all know it. Like, I've gotten traded before. I've played against some of the all-time greats. And sometimes, Jacoby, after the game, I was having my steak and my lobster. I'd pull a stat sheet out of my packet. Like, I just scored 30 on the best superstars in the game. You know what I mean? And so, say less. You ain't even got a home yet.
No.
You see what I mean? And so, don't deter somebody from also wanting to bring you in. Now, Seattle seems to be a spot that's been discussed somewhat. Now, you're filling some really big shoes. And Russell Wilson, stay tuned. You'll get a chance.
I've always loved Baker's personality, and I really feel that he had a torn labrum last season, and that's why he did not
perform
the way we wanted him to. And if he gets healthy, he can be a productive quarterback in the NFL. Jalen Rose, we have a lot more to discuss. Some very interesting occurrences in the Major League Baseball we're going to get to right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Baseball.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, once again, we're going to acknowledge the fact that Brittany Griner is still being detained in Russia.
Way too long, sending prayers to her and her family. 56 days. That's just entirely too long. Wishing her a speedy, safe return to the United States.
Clayton Kershaw, Los Angeles Dodgers, had a perfect game through 7 innings. He's thrown under 80 pitches in the game. A perfect game. It gets taken out. Mr. Rose, what are we doing? Like, what are we even doing? What are we doing?
I just appreciate that their skipper, Dave Roberts, made sure he let us know that I asked him what did he think. And he told me a number around, 84, 85. When we got close to that number, I took him out. He wasn't like, hey, he told me he wanted to stay and I took him out. But that's the analytics, in my opinion, taking away the sanctity of the game.
Only 23 perfect games in the history of the sport, in the history of the league. Let the man pitch 2 more innings. It's only 6 more outs. Exactly. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss the NBA playoffs and much more. ESPN2, 4 p.m.
Thank
every
you.
Day.
You're far too kind.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. And Jalen Rose, we have a perfect podcast exclusive topic right here. We could never discuss this on the television program because the executives watch the television program. They don't listen to the pod. But you do, our podcast listeners. J.R. Smith was on a pod, and he acknowledged something that I was a little surprised.
What?
He said that while in the bubble, locked down during the pandemic.
Locked up.
The Disney World campus, there was some medicinal activities amongst the players.
Oh, of course.
Because they acknowledged that they weren't going to be testing for it in the bubble.
So let me tell you something that the NBA did that was so very smooth. The transition from when the pandemic started to when the players got in the bubble, during that period of time, they lessened the restrictions of marijuana. So by the time you got to the bubble, you weren't being punished for it. It wasn't as stringent. And so absolutely For their aches, for their pains, for their anxiety.
It's a
sprawling
campus, too. There's a lot of nooks and crannies and little spots and walks and trails and things you can go on. There's a lot of space out there in Orlando.
Yeah, and they, you know, didn't Drake send the Raptors some candles? You know what I mean?
Why would they do that? Yeah, exactly. Why would that be relevant, Mr. Right? Rose?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Why would that be relevant?
Take care of your squad. That's a squad.
Gotta take care of your team.
Make sure they stand out of trouble.
Well, do you think J.R. Smith shouldn't have said that?
It's obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
It's obvious. The sports that were primarily featuring black athletes for so very long has certain taboo rules that you've heard me talk about that only reflect in those sports. For example, restrictions after high school. That's only in football and basketball. That ain't in tennis, that ain't in golf, that ain't in NASCAR. Ready for this one? Salary cap. Ain't no salary cap in soccer.
They have one in hockey.
Restrictions on how many years you can sign deals. Baseball, you can sign somebody a 10-year deal. Hockey, you can sign somebody a 10-year deal. NBA is like, you getting a 4-year deal. People are like, hey, that's too many years. That's too many years. They not even playing all 82 games.
I think they did that because you got a 7-year deal once. Like, this is getting out of control.
Exactly.
Taylor got a 7-year deal.
And so now, marijuana, the same thing. For so many years, you will see the headline. NFL, NBA player fails drug test, is in the program, gets in trouble for marijuana, and now is in the NBA protocol. Like when other sports, even like I was watching the Masters to see Tiger, and I saw something that was very interesting. They were like, they don't even disclose why they punish a player. They were talking about Phil Mickelson. Like they don't even disclose it. Like in these sports, it's highlighted. You see what I'm saying? It's headlined. So it's approached different. And so.
You forgot what you were talking about. I love these moments in the pod. Yeah. Where you just like mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Just mid-sentence. We're talking about J.R. Smith in the bubble. We can move on.
And so if you J.R. Swish, absolutely. You stay novice. Everybody was blowing that wanted to. And I'm pretty sure we're doing it respectfully and responsibly.
Where do you get blunts? Where do you get rolling papers if you're in the bubble?
It's
gotta be a mail system, right?
So let me tell everybody a secret. Okay. There's so many people that think that because Jimmy and Bam play in Miami, that they can have more fun than Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson because they live in Utah. Like, that's what people actually think. And I'm here to teach y'all something. You know what equals the playing field? Millions of dollars.
Yeah, Jalen Rose has had fun in every NBA city. In everyone.
Yeah, everyone. Okay, in Miami, they get to go to the beach. Guess what? In Utah, the pool's indoor.
Yeah, you know, it'll be fine.
When you got this kind of bread,
you're surrounded by bikinis, whether you're inside at the indoor pool or you're at the beach.
You know, that's one of the more overrated things that I hear people say so many times.
It's a great point. So, Jalen, there's something I really want to talk to you about. Very controversial, right? So we had the Hawks and Hornets matchup, and there was a video going around online of LaMelo Ball taking a three at the end of the game when the Hornets were ahead, and the Hawks were upset about that. Something very similar happened in my rec league last week. So, we're winning by 20.
Say that again?
We're winning by 20, right? And this, you know, and I feel bad for the team. They were outmatched, right? It was just like, you know, they probably didn't have a player that would start for us, right? Not their fault. They were good guys, too. We're winning by 20. Good guys and a girl, I should say. They had a female as well. She was putting up shots. Scored on my man Ron with a hook shot. Winning by 20. Usually, in this scenario, indirectly in a gym where the refs just want to go home and everybody just wants to move on with their lives, when it's a 20-point game under the minute, the losing team just looks at the refs and is like, all right, we're good. And then you see you shake hands, you go and complain, you go to the bar, you celebrate or commiserate, we all move on. That's what we do if we're losing by 20 in the last minute. The other team didn't do that. They wanted to play it out. Okay, we got the ball with like 15 seconds left. We're moving the ball around. We're not trying to score. We're moving the ball around. I get the ball at the top of the key. The ref starts counting down from 5, right? 4, 3. In my head, I'm like, if I shoot now, by the time the ball touches another player, the game's going to be over. So whether I make it or I miss it, it's just like, it's over. This game is over, right? I rise up to shoot with 2 seconds left. Other team gets mad. Dude fouls me. Kind of like gets under me. I land up on the ground. I fall down, Jalen Rose.
He Jalen Rose'd you?
Yes. Yeah, but he was mad though. Like he was mad. He really closed out really hard and kind of like pushed me over kind of a thing. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have done that.
That's the first thing that went through my head.
First thing that went through my head, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that this was going to be like a sensitive thing where people are going to be mad at me. And then there's another player, this guy I was covering. He called me out of my name. Some very disrespectful
words
he used. What did
he call you?
I can't say them.
What is it rhyme with?
Mushy.
Oh!
So then I'm I didn't realize, and I literally said this, I'm at the free throw line and they're getting mad, calling names. I'm like, I literally said, I'm not talking about this, right? Because some of my teammates were talking to them about it. I'm like, I'm not discussing this. I'll not take these free throws. I even put that out there. I was like, I don't need these free throws. Like, we can just move on with our lives. You know, I hit the first 2 free throws, missed the last. And then dude, who the guy who was the maddest, was like, talk about that in the podcast. Learn some sportsmanship. Literally, that's what he says to me, right? Some of the other teammates were kind of like not even tripping over it. They're like, whatever, dude. You know. So, Mr. Rose,
yep.
Should I have taken the shot? Did I disrespect the other team by taking the shot?
So, I'm really fortunate that sports has been like a heartbeat of my life. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a soundtrack. Like, hip-hop started in 73. Basketball started in 73. Like, that's all I know. Like, all I know is those two cultures. And the one thing I want to make sure I say to any young athlete out there or any current professional athlete out there, the most overrated thing in sports is unwritten rules. Let me say that again for y'all. The most overrated thing in sports is unwritten rules. I'm not here when they're starting to keep score to cater to your feelings. That ain't what this is.
No.
We competing.
Yes.
I don't care what it is. Cards, dice, basketball, whatever. We competing, right? So if I'm playing spades and I got a chance to get 10, am I not gonna do it? Cause you gonna get mad? No. I'm trying to get 10, and I'm slapping the table. That's how competition works. I am not here to cater to your feelings. And so if I'm beating you by 20, why y'all quitting? That's what this sounds like to me. I've been down 20 before.
Well, you can just call the game. That's what everybody else does. That's what we always do if we're down 20. Let's just go home. There's 40 seconds left.
But if you don't call the game, why y'all quitting?
They were trying to score in their possession.
Of course they were. That's
but
my point.
But I'm not
point.
Allowed to score in my possession.
That's my point exactly.
But also, there are certain unwritten rules that I will rock with. Like, I don't bridge players. Player safety. Anything that involves, like, the opponent's safety.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of
stuff
course.
Like that. When it's like, but, like, if I make the shot or miss the shot, your life don't change.
I'm glad you made that distinction. We're clearly not talking about player safety.
Yeah.
Talking about scoring. I'm talking about production, and I'm talking about until the game is over. So baseball is an untimed game,
mm-hmm.
right? So if it's 9-3 and Mookie Betts come up to bat in the ninth inning.
What's he supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do?
Not swing? What's he supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do?
Take 3 strikes and move on with his life?
We up 9-3.
Yeah.
What's he supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? We get out of here. I don't want to make them mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to make the Giants mad. So I'm just going to stand here with the bat on my shoulder and take three pitches down the middle?
No.
Like, that don't even make sense. That never made sense to me. And let me tell you what's even dumber when I see this. When the losing team is holding the ball, What y'all holding the ball for? What y'all letting the clock dribble out for? Like, y'all down 15. It's 13 seconds to go in the game. Why is you dribbling around in a circle?
You want, if you're coaching an NBA team, you want them to get a layup.
Absolutely. It's still time on the clock. The game. See, when what ends up happening is being an athlete trains you a certain exercise that you should compete until the game is over.
I agree.
See, when you start to play to score, that's when you get hurt. That's when you create bad habits.
Or if you're down 30 in the second quarter. You quit then?
Or, you ready for this? Or that's when a team come back and do something special and beat you. And it might not even happen that game. It might be another game when y'all up 20 and y'all don't handle it or manage it right, and then that team now comes back to beat you. That all creates bad habits.
So let me put a button on this story, Mr. Rose.
Shoot the ball.
Let me put a button on this story.
Did you make it?
I made 2 of the 3 free throws. I mean, dude fouled me. I got pushed. It was in the middle of the air.
Oh, in the middle of the shot.
Yeah, so I got pushed in the middle. It wasn't like, it wasn't extracurricular contact. That'd be a whole different conversation.
Well, if he pushed you in the air while you were shooting, he lucky that didn't become a fight.
No, it wasn't like a disrespectful outside of basketball closeout. It was a closeout foul. It wasn't like he mushed me in the chest with two hands, like palmed in my chest.
Oh, he's a white guy.
Yeah, he's a white guy. I don't know. I don't want to say that. You never know. You never know. But I will say this. The dude who was the most vocal about it came to apologize to me.
Class individual.
However, I got no draws on while he's apologizing to me.
Ho, ho, ho. I'm commando? So,
yeah, no, I got, because there's a brief 8 seconds after a basketball game when, like, it's only the refs and us in there, and I've got, like, the shirt pulled down.
Yeah, right.
There's a very brief moment. I'm just too lazy to go to the bathroom to change, right? A very brief moment where my butt cheeks are out, and this dude comes over and says, I know this is awkward because you got no draws on, but I just want to say sorry. In the back of my mind, I'm like, just wait 20 seconds, my guy.
Well, maybe he was in a rush.
20 seconds?
Maybe he has somewhere to go.
No, he doesn't.
Well, maybe. I accept the love. Accept the apology.
I said that.
You know what I'm saying?
Grudges.
Right. I'm just saying. But let's talk about you being naked. So, again, athlete culture. That's 100% commonplace after the game because everybody taking a shower. So, when you're playing rec ball, it depends on if it's wintertime, people taking off their wet shirt, putting on their hoodies, putting on coat, taking off their wet bottoms, taking off their wet underwear, taking off their tights, taking off their shorts, taking off their socks, changing. Sometimes it's a shower, sometimes it ain't a shower.
No shower.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we're in New York City public school. There's no showers. You know what? I didn't shower that night when I got home either. I didn't. I didn't.
So at what point the next morning did you finally shower?
Next morning.
What time?
7:30 after the conference call. So that's my story from Rec League. We got a big game tonight. And
good luck.
Look forward to that one.
Good luck.
And you know what? I'm going to apologize to absolutely nobody. I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody. Maybe I shouldn't have shot it, but you shouldn't have cared. Regardless, your life doesn't change if I make it or miss it or shoot it or hold it.
All right, let me give you a different exercise.
If I sit there and hold the ball and dribble out the clock, how does that change your life?
I'm going to give you a different. I gave you the professional sports example. Okay. Now I'm going to give you just like the lifestyle example and ask you a couple of questions. How long did it take for you to get there?
Poof, 42 minutes on the train, read my book, finished my book.
How long did y'all play?
Food, you know, running clock, 40 minutes.
Okay. And how long did it take to get home? Around the same time, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So
the beers after.
Right. So that means I'm about to commit 2 hours to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shooting that ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I only take like 5 shots a game.
I'm shooting that ball.
But we have scorers on our team. I'm not a scorer. I get like legit 5 shots a game, and that was one of them.
Can y'all still hold a Tommy Shepard roster spot for me?
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anytime, you are welcome.
And by the way, if you don't know who Tommy Shepard is, we should just end the show. You know what? We shouldn't do this show anymore. We got any voicemails, anything?
We do have a voicemail. Okay. Call 985-80-JALEN. You're talking about the GM for the Wizards, right?
No.
985-80-JALEN.
Like what you did there.
And if you call 95-8-JOE-JALEN, you can leave a voicemail and we'll put you on the show just like this one.
Jalen, Jacoby, Chris, down here from Texas, an exclusive podcast listener. Shout out Reg. Shout out both of y'all. Man, y'all been shouting out Brittany Griner the last couple weeks, and it kind of got me thinking, like, why do women's basketball players make so much more overseas than they do here in the U.S.? Like, I can't even remember the last time the women's basketball team didn't win a gold medal in the Olympics. But just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Y'all keep getting them checks, keep giving the people what they want. Y'all have a good one.
Great caller. Big Chris, shout, Chris.
Texas. So I think we did win the gold medal. Hold on a second. I was like, wait a second. I think we do win the gold medal in women's basketball pretty much every Olympics, but that's not besides the point. He wants to know why they make more money overseas than they do here.
So, Chris.
Yeah, they won the gold medal.
You're touching on a really sore subject. And I alluded to this earlier. The reason why those sports that were predominantly black was because we came to this country to entertain and for free labor. And so to continue to keep those generational shackles on us, it played itself out through sports. That's why those restrictions and the salary cap and those things that I talked about, the rules are just different. We're not viewed as a gentleman's sport where you be quiet. Be as loud as possible. And so we got to learn to have thick skin. For the WNBA, it's a league that's 75% comprised of black women. And it's always disappointed me the lack of, like, true, like, I'm not going to dismiss the money that they, you know, get as a league or the sponsors that they already have. But what I will say is, if they're the sister league to the NBA, like, they're almost treated like second-class citizens.
That's a good point. There's a couple things I want to say here. Number one, there's a lot of money in Russia, so they get enticed the people to spend money to bring them over there, and that's why they make more money overseas. But the fact that they don't make more money here is a problem for me, because if the negotiators in the room would say, well, the WNBA brings in less money than other leagues, so they get paid on a scale. And I would say, wait a second. If the WNBA is, as you say, sister league to the NBA, so it seems like the whole family should be chopping up the money. So you can't tell me that if someone's making $45 million in one league, and this is the sister league where the salary cap is $250,000, that there can't be some sort of middle ground there. There's got to be some sort of middle ground there if it's all in the same family.
Especially if our hoodie's on the same shelves.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And what ends up happening, an athlete like Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi talked a lot about this, them basically going overseas to make the kind of money in one season that it took them like five WNBA seasons to make. I believe Diana Taurasi was making $100,000 in the WNBA and making $1 million overseas.
Yep.
I guess I'm going to be overseas.
Of course.
And so that's really unfortunate. Like, hearing that, it really upsets me. It's so archaic. It reminds me of, like, if players were still flying commercial. Oh, wait. The WNBA players are flying commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Still, oh no, you get fined if you fly in private.
Got
you get fined
it.
If you
Got
fly
it.
In private.
And just so you know, if you're doing the math, NBA teams stopped flying commercial in the 80s. It's 2022 and they still flying commercial.
Oh, I'm not going to spill the secrets, but I'm going to tell you something because we got a wrap. I was at Ruth Chris in New York City with my friend Mike and these two just really chatty, friendly ladies were next to us. No flirting. We're just talking. And they were flight attendants that flew the NBA players. And they told me some things that I'm not going to share into this microphone. But it was a really interesting conversation. And I will not tell that one on wax. But we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. Like the legend, Blastmaster KRS-One. once famously said into a microphone, "We are not done." Got to give the people-